Welcome to the Half Hour Happy Hour, your chance to sit back, have a drink, and listen to some insightful musings, funny anecdotes, the occasional rant, and an all-too-frequent Bruce Willis reference. Join Jen, Justin, and Jer in hoisting a beverage or three, picking apart topics of the day, and explaining how things came to be the way they are. It's one part educational, one part bacchanal. It's best served over ice with a healthy dose of wit and a twist of cynicism.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Happy Hour with your hosts, Jer, Jen, and I'm Justin. Depending on when this show airs, it's either going to be tax time or recently was tax time. So today we're going to talk about taxes. But first, and especially when it comes to paying taxes, I think we all need a drink. Jer, what are you having?
Today, a staple of beer cuisine, Stella Artois. Nothing remarkable about it at all. But it's one of those beers you can drink.
And it's a good standby.
Yeah, I mean, it's a daily drinker if it was a little cheaper. But otherwise, yeah, beats the hell out of butt.
Yep. Jen, what about you?
Wait, that's not fair. Everything beats the hell out of butt. Unless, of course, we're being sponsored by Budweiser by now, in which case, awesome.
We'll edit that out. Stick something else in there, yeah.
Just insert my nickname. I'm always sure doing an extremely robotic
voice. Beats out everything else except for Arnigan.
I forgot what I'm drinking. No, I'm drinking the Blue Point Brewing Company's flagship product, their toasted lager. It's very coppery. It's got six different malts, which I'm a happy camper because I'm a malty person, but it also has a very nice balance, so it's not too malty. Very drinkable, very nice. Certainly better than Stella.
I'm also having something from the Blue Point Brewery, which is out of New Jersey. It's the Rastafa Rye Ale, yeah. Rastafa Rye.
Oh, there is an F.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting to have to say Rasta Rye, and then I was like, oh, wait a minute, there's more syllables in there. So, Rastafa Rye Ale.
Rastafari.
There we go!
Yay!
High fives for Jared! You sound it out nice and slow. We're going to call it the Rastafa Rye from now on.
Rastafa Rye. it's going to be a good show. It's a bit hoppy, but it's got a nice rye flavor that balances it out. So not generally a fan of the hoppy beers, but this one's actually pretty decent. So yeah, I'm going to enjoy this. It's actually 7.8%, I think it was. So
sweet.
It'll be a fun show. So let's raise them up. So, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about taxes today, everybody's favorite subject. They say the only two inevitabilities in life are death and taxes.
They say. It was actually Franklin that said that.
Yeah.
While proposing tax changes.
So let's talk a little bit about history. Why is a decent chunk of our income going to the government?
Wait, I can't answer that.
Well,
that has nothing to do with history. What are you trying to do?
history of taxes. Why are we where we're at today?
Well, I think you have to separate the U.S. history from everybody else, because obviously taxes are so screwy that you can't really... It's apples to oranges no matter how you look at everybody else's stuff, even if you look at ours now versus 20, 30 years ago.
Well, ours now federal or state?
We don't have state income taxes here in Florida.
Woo-hoo. Hooray, Florida.
Hooray, Florida.
So, yeah, we're like one of, what is it, four, six, something ridiculous like
four
that?
Or five, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, we actually were discussing earlier that if we're going to move out of Florida, we're going to move to Alaska where they pay you.
They pay you.
Taxes.
Yeah. No income tax, and they pay
after
you.
After 2 years,
there. After
they
two
have,
years.
What is it called? I forgot what it's called, but it's literally a reverse income tax.
Yeah.
Please stay here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty much.
Especially for women. They should pay women more. I'm going to Alaska. I'm never coming out of my house.
I know some people who live in Alaska, so.
Are they crazy? Sorry, Alaskan audience.
No.
Good answer. So anyway, back to the history. When you look at like when income taxes were first founded, what I found absolutely fascinating is, of course, the British. But they started an income tax in 1404, and shortly after, Parliament was so embarrassed by the fact that they were just taxing on what you made, that they burned all records of it. And why it didn't stay burned and dead, we're not sure. Oh, wait, war. Oh,
war.
War, there's that.
Wars can be expensive.
Yep.
And you know, somebody's got to pay for that stuff. Certainly not the people that are waging the war, but, you know, the peons who really could give a shit less.
But in all fairness, war will make jobs, so it's okay.
In which they're, you're paying for them to make jobs to pay for the war. Wait a second.
That was my point from one of our other shows about just because it makes jobs, it's not okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, focus. So in the U.S., we actually, I mean, I think we're focused mainly on income taxes and such for this conversation. But before we had an income tax in the U.S., we had property taxes. And that was 1798, land, houses, slaves, things that you owned. Sorry, it's true back then. But the first U.S. income tax helped the Civil War. Back in 1861, it was proposed. 1862 is when we started paying for it. And then, of course, we got the 16th Amendment in 1913, which established the first permanent tax. Interestingly enough, a couple years later, in 1916, they changed the word lawful before income, because it used to say all lawful income. So now they took lawful out, making illegal income taxable as well.
We don't care where it came from. We just want a piece.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly it. So many of the gangsters from the 20s went to prison for evading taxes. The prisons were full of them.
Yep.
Stupid 1916.
Now, going back to the 16th Amendment, you know, in a little bit of what I read, you know, the actual right of the government to collect income taxes existed prior to the 16th Amendment. The point of the 16th Amendment was basically to change it to say how those taxes were appropriated back out. Was, you know, didn't matter on where it came from or any kind of census information.
Basically, it got rid of the apportionment piece of it, saying that, you know, if everybody's taxed, then it all gets distributed how the government sees fit, regardless of, that's exactly
right. So the income tax itself existed prior to the 16th Amendment. It's just in its current form. The 16th Amendment put it in its current form.
Well, and it created the permanence of it.
Right.
Before it was come and go as necessary. But going back to the Civil War thing you mentioned, that was actually when the U.S. first went into debt, was for the Civil War, and hasn't gotten out of it since.
Dun, dun, dun.
So apparently that tax thing didn't really work out.
No.
That's funny. I'm trying to think of something smart-ass to propose for alternatives to taxes to get us out of debt.
Well, I mean, I've always been personally a fan of, you know, a flat tax. Get rid of the bloated income tax IRS system and just do a flat tax. You know,
I think a consumption tax.
Yeah, which, that's basically what a flat tax is, you know, a national sales tax.
Precisely. Well, because then anybody who is getting illegal funds is going to be paying, you know, so a drug dealer who goes out and buys a Benz is going to be paying taxes on it.
Right. It's a lot simpler system. And
well, in state by state, they're the ones keeping records of the total sales of goods independently. So then the IRS just aggregates data as opposed to having their own set of taxes that they have to account for.
Yep.
I have lots of statistics on the IRS.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, speaking of the Civil War, of course, we've got, like, the Gettysburg Address, which is, like, 269 words, right? Declaration of Independence, 1,300 and some odd. Holy Bible, 773,000. However, the tax law from in 1913, it was 11,400 words. You want to take a guess?
Oh, over a million.
How many words? Just throw me a number.
20 million.
Oh, okay. Somewhere between 1 and 20. Correct. It is 7 million, which is more than the Gettysburg Address, the Declaration of Independence, the Holy Bible, and Harry Potter.
All of the Harry Potter?
Oh, I didn't get that far.
Oh, okay.
I think it was just the first one based on the information that I was reading at the date. But I thought it was interesting that we've got the Gettysburg Address, the Declaration of Independence, the Holy Bible, Harry Potter just thrown in there for shits and giggles. Well, let's make the kids interested. We'll throw in a Harry Potter reference. Oh, am I bringing in more IRS stuff?
Sure.
IRS sends out over 8 billion pages in forms and instructions every year. That's nearly 300,000 trees.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is that in forests?
Wow. And late end to end, it would stretch around the Earth 28 times.
One year?
In one year, yes.
One year. Yeah, that's good.
The easiest form,
you
the 1040 Easy.
You never know we have computers and stuff.
Has 33 pages of instructions. The easiest
easy
form.
One.
Yep. Well, if we're going to go on to like the e-filing stuff, let's see. 21% of paper returns have errors. Only 0.5% of e-files have errors. So do your taxes electronically.
Mm-hmm.
Save paper.
Get your returns quicker, too.
But get your cash, which is printed on paper. But.
For corporate taxes, you don't have a choice. You can e-file.
You don't even have to pay those.
But you still have to file it. And you have to sign this one piece of paper that verifies that you did it and it's, you know, accurate, et cetera, et cetera. But you have to e-file, you have to print out that page, sign it, scan it back in, convert it to a PDF, and then you can e-file the batch. What? Now, you don't have to do that for your personal.
Right.
But apparently there's just a different set of rules somewhere in that 7 million
words.
that makes it different.
Huh.
Just the signature. There's nothing, I mean, at the end of your taxes, as personal returns, you have to click the I promise I'm this person, right, and I click this button.
Yeah.
So I'm, from now on, when we file business returns, anybody, this is my advice, is hand it to your friend, have them sign it your name. Since it's not saying, I promise I'm signing this.
Yep.
But that wasn't me.
No, it was just a pain in the ass, because I don't have a printer. I'm trying to be paperless.
Right.
So it's, okay, well, now what do I do? Send it to work, print it out there,
yeah.
Sign it, nice.
They're not paying taxes, it's okay. Mm-mm. Hey, e-files, you guys know when the first e-file happened?
91.
86.
Really?
1986. In 89, 36 states could file their taxes. By 1990, everybody could. Do your damn taxes electronically, people.
Yep.
Seriously.
Anything else interesting?
60% of taxpayers have to hire a professional to get through their own shite.
Wow.
Okay.
That seems high to me, because I know, you know, not that that's kind of different from the appropriation of wealth. You know, I would think the people who have a lot of money will need the professionals, and that's not 60% of the population.
I want to know what hiring a professional means, because by the monkey decides to push the TurboTax button, is that a professional?
But taking it down to
H&R Block.
H&R Block would be a professional,
right.
And there's a lot of people who do that low income because it's free.
Okay.
And they necessarily don't have the knowledge to do their own taxes or the time or whatever you want to call it. So of that 60% who use it, I bet 5 to 10 is that upper echelon
that
complicated
task, yeah.
And the rest are just people who choose it over doing it themselves.
Huh. Interesting. So let's take a little break real quick. We'll come back and we'll have some more fun facts, and we'll talk a bit about where our tax dollars are going and how they're being managed, to use the term loosely. So we'll be right back. Did you lose your shirt during March Madness? Was your Elite Eight less than elite? None of your finalists ended up in the Final Four? Doesn't it seem like your March Madness bracket should blend seamlessly into your April tax brackets? We at Dewey, Cheatham & Howe tax professionals think so too. With the help of some of the same creative accountant used by the big boys, we can offer you shelter so that you too may retire offshore. Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, helping you evade tomorrow. Any innuendo in the last sentence should be heard with a wink, wink, nudge, nudge at the end. We are not actually licensed tax professionals per se, but we did buy a copy of TurboTax. Okay, actually, we looked at buying a copy of TurboTax, but it was too expensive. You don't think the NC2A will come down on us from licensed use of the phrase March Madness, do you?
Alrighty, kids. Are you pissed? No, not yet. Let me tell you why. We're going to talk about some corporations and where the money comes from and where it goes to and how you personally are being bent over. So, Jared and I were just kind of discussing some statistics during the break. 1943, 40% of taxes came from corporations. In 2003, 2009-ish average.
Yeah.
7% of taxes are coming from corporations. Meanwhile, are you bent over yet? Guess where the rest is coming from. Jared's got like this crazy little notepad with all these little numbers scribbled down, and it's kind of scaring me, so I'm going to let him translate.
In 2009, individual income tax was essentially $915 million in federal receipts, which represents 43.47% of the gross income for the federal government.
Huh.
Followed quickly at 43% by Social Security.
Wow.
I mean...
Wait, Social Security is considered income for the government?
Well, yeah. It's collected by employers and paid to the federal government in order for it to be dispersed
right.
to the people.
Okay, so it's not necessarily profit, net profit. Okay.
No, it's not net profit.
Wait, I said profit. I said government and profit, profit at the same time. My bad.
but it is receivables. And so they collect $891 million, and this is in 2009. Hmm. They paid out $678.
We're so totally screwed.
Well, and didn't they just lowered what they're collecting for Social Security?
Oh, yeah.
So we're already in danger of it running out before we retire. We just lowered what we're collecting.
What do you mean we're in danger of it running out?
Yeah, right.
You're going to work till you die. We're all going to be sick.
No, I'm taking care of myself. I have not relied on the government for a while now.
Roth IRAs.
Yeah,
401ks.
Exactly.
All right, listen.
Lottery tickets.
I like toys too much, so I'll be waving to you guys when you come into Walmart. Which will be like Taco Bell in Demolition Man, or whatever that movie is. Oh, it's not a Bruce Willis. All right, we'll switch to Stallone. But seriously,
and then we can go to
Walmart...
the Expendables and tie it together, and then we're all good. I never saw it, but I know they're both in there.
It was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Focus. Share. No cut. Numbers. Let's go.
Well, and so this whole thing started, the taxes in the U.S. started over an excise tax. So it was, you know, your typical sin tax stuff, tobacco, alcohol, what else? The stuff the federal government knows you'll buy. They were taxing that stuff. Excise represented almost 3% of gross receipts for the federal government.
In like 2009, wow.
So corporations are paying their fair share at not quite, well, about 6.5%. Excise, which was the whole point originally, 3%. Other represents 4.7%, and they really don't break down what that is.
So basically it's completely SWAT.
Yes.
It used to be excise, corporations, income, you know,
income.
People,
correct.
And now it's the exact opposite.
Precisely.
I wonder why that is.
Well, and then you look at where the money is going, and everybody was up in arms about TARP, bailing out some of the financial institutions as they saw fit. That represented in 2009, which is the year it got kicked off, 4.29% of federal spending. Total of $151 million.
That's not terrible,
not
I suppose.
Terrible. You want to take a guess on defense?
Oh, that's going to be 70% at least.
No, actually 22.25%.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
$782 million. Social Security, $678 million. Medicare and Medicaid, $676 million. So those three, defense, Social Security, and the two M's, are essentially 60% of the federal government spending.
Hmm.
The other 40% are, you know, mandatory spending, which is salaries, discretionary spending, which is pet projects, interest. 5.32% of the federal government spending goes to pay interest on T-bills, other securities that the government issues and we're paying to other countries, typically for the loan.
Right.
all that debt we've been carrying since the Civil War.
Right, yeah,
the interest to pay that. And keep in mind, there was nothing mentioned about paying the principal back.
Right.
That, I'm sure that's part of mandatory, but mandatory represents 17%.
Hmm.
So overall, a small portion of that is probably going to pay principal down on debt that we're shelling out $187 million a year on interest.
Wow.
I stand corrected. I will not be a greeter at Walmart. I will be serving whatever overlords take us over by then.
Move overseas. Work for the ones who we're indebted to.
Right. At this point, it comes to...
I'm going
to
get some funny shoes and a gong. I'll see you guys later.
You thought the court, the lawsuits over who owned houses and whether or not they had the ability to foreclose was interesting.
Yeah.
At what point can China just... Excuse us.
We own you.
We like our stuff now.
Yes, you seem to have defaulted. You're 3 months behind on your payments. And
you get out now.
Yes.
China's going to make us all go live in, like, Texas. Like, all of us.
We won't have to pay income tax then.
Yeah. Yes. But then they're going to spread out.
Right. The problem is the corporate lobby system where they're the ones who are controlling everything, which is why their taxes have gone down consistently over the years.
Down. I mean, down implies that they're paying something.
Well, yeah. what's the percentage of...
1996 to 2000, 61% of U.S. corporations did not pay taxes, period.
Yep.
Income taxes. I don't know what else they get taxed on. I'm going to guess not a whole.
Well, if you're...
Which gets passed on to us.
Well, yeah, but they collect it.
Oh. Well, you know, like, we're bashing.
We get screwed left and right.
And I'm sure we'll hit on something that shows we're getting screwed center also.
Bohica.
So as much as you hate the IRS right now, you do have to admire how efficient they are. Mm. Because for every $100 they collect, it only costs them 39 cents.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
I'm actually surprised.
I'm stunned. A government agency with
I know,
that kind
right?
of efficiency.
Especially the IRS with their 7 million word tax code.
And 28 circumnavigations of paper.
I couldn't swear to it, but I think that's better than the United Way. I mean, and they're known for their efficiency.
Right.
Like, they pay out 98% of the money they collect.
Hmm.
The other 2% goes to operational fees and such.
Interesting.
So, wow.
And I found that, like, everywhere. So it's not like some one random website.
IRS.gov. Yeah. No.
Actually, you know what? I went everywhere else but government websites to find tax information. I was like, I refuse.
Probably the best idea.
Good. Yeah.
Some of those other numbers that I thought were interesting were, you know, we looked at the tax brackets, you know, throughout the years, and we're actually what we're paying our percentage on taxes right now is actually not that bad comparatively.
No, actually, it's the lowest it's been.
Yeah.
Not ever, but well, in my personal tax bracket, which I won't make you laugh at what it is. Sad. I'm paying the lowest. I mean, there's been other times where it's been as low, but I'm paying the lowest in taxes that me personally in my tax bracket, making as much, not considering inflation and all that kind of fun stuff. But yeah, we started looking at, like, we found this neat PDF. We'll have to throw it up on the website. But we found this neat PDF that goes through literally year by year, and it tells you what the tax brackets were in that year, whether you're single, married, filing jointly, married, filing separately, blah, 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 blah. And of course, I only looked at the single stuff because that's all I really give a shit about. And it's crazy because you look at, like, now where you're paying, you know, approximately 25 to 28%.
And that feels like a lot.
Yeah, well, and we're talking...
To a quarter of my money is gone.
Well, we're talking, like, our tax brackets, you know, average, you know, for, you know, I don't know, are we blue-collar?
Yeah,
blue-collar?
Yeah, I think I don't so. Know.
We're paid blue-collar. Yeah. That's what really matters.
Okay, so we'll go with blue-collar. But when you start looking at, for example, like in the 80s, we were being taxed. I mean, it's ridiculous. Jared's trying to show me the webpage and I can't see it at this angle.
Oh, sorry. 1952.
Oh, this is on 52. Oh, 52. This is fantastic. If you made $200,000 in 1952, which is ridiculous, but $200,000 in 1952, you were in the 92% tax bracket.
Yeah.
And there's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, I don't know, I lost count, like 30 different tax brackets.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing that's interesting is, you know, these tax brackets are, they've gotten bigger as the years have gone by. You know, it's every $2,000 here, there's a new tax bracket compared to nowadays where it's like, what, $30,000 up to $85,000, something like that?
$85,000 or $8,500, $34,500, and then it's like $80,000, and then this is the singles, filing singly.
Didn't they have another one, like a minimum tax that people had to pay if they just made like ludicrous sums of money? It fell outside the bracket system, and it actually went to a minimum amount they had to pay.
I have no idea, because I've never had that problem.
Well, no, I mean, it's one of those terrible problems to have. It's like when your Porsche is in the shop and the jag won't start.
Oh.
Terrible.
Yeah. So in the 80s, you know, if you made $10,000, you were taxed at 28%. $22,000 is taxed at 49%.
So everybody basically ends up making the same amount of money after taxes.
Yeah.
But if you start looking, like, 1990,
yeah,
there are
two tax brackets. Wow.
You're under 20,000 or you're over 20,000.
Yeah, it goes in 86, there's a bunch of them, and then, you know, or 87, there's like five, and then 90 or 88, there's two. It's yeah, 14,875. You're either above or below that.
And of course, those have been adjusted, but basically the tax brackets were 15% and 28%.
Yeah.
Plain and simple, which.
Yeah, so in the 90s, which, you know, was not too terribly long ago. Maybe it was.
Yeah.
We're old now.
Oh my God.
But yeah, so $16,000, you know, below that you're paying 15%, above that you're paying 28%.
Well, you're looking at married filing separately.
Am I?
The fact of the matter is, it's all sorts of screwy. It should be by individual.
you know, we're it sucks, but it could be worse, I guess, if you look at it historically.
Don't say that.
Well,
on that note,
relatively speaking, yeah.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with some really, really absurd shit. Funk's got the conspiracy theories on lockdown. But while we're on break, I want to give you guys something to think about. There is a form 6478. The title of the form is Credit for Alcohol Used as Fuel. We want your creative suggestions on how we can get that tax write-off.
Alcohol turns into calories.
Right.
Which is fuel for your body.
Drinking beer.
See y'all in a bit.
We here at the Half Hour Happy Hour would like to take a moment and thank our friends at the 48-Hour Guerrilla Film Competition for their unwavering friendship and mutual support. Clint, Nick, Steven, and Mike, and the rest of the GFC team challenge aspiring filmmakers to improvise, adapt, and overcome in a two-day grind of creativity and production. During the event, students, amateurs, first-time filmmakers, and industry pros compete directly with one another to write, shoot, edit, and deliver a short film in under 48 hours. For more info, go to 48gfc.com and check out their podcast, Guerrilla Filmmakers Lounge, available on iTunes. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. The show is about to, like so many things, go to hell in a handbasket. we're gonna kind of, you know, break this whole thing down. You know, every taxes come up. There's always some people who want to fight it, claim it's unconstitutional or conspiracy theory or just downright wacky. There's, you know, like most of our laws, there's some pretty crazy stuff on the books. Yeah, Jen's looked at a few of those. And I've got, you know, some of these arguments that I've got against the income tax they're a little far out there. One of the ones that is my personal favorite of everything that I read is some of the tax protesters, and this is, you know, the official term that the government uses for them is tax protesters.
That's very nice of them.
Yeah, the tax protesters. There's tax protesters. There's also tax resistors. There's a distinction there, but.
And then the evaders.
Yeah, those are the ones who go to jail. Usually one leads to the other.
wait, is protester, resistor? I got evader. What's the difference between protester and resistor?
I assume the protester, it just bitches about paying
his
taxes.
Do it? Does right. that make us tax protesters? Shit.
Yes, it's a solid guess. Yes.
So
edit that out, protester. Heineken. <Yeah.
laughs> So a lot of the stuff that I read about the people who, you know, try to fight the income tax and take it to court and all this stuff, unfortunately, a lot of it is just a lot of, you know, attempts to do legal loopholes, like spelling, you know, this was not properly ratified. You know, there's one of the big arguments that they use is the 16th Amendment was not properly ratified. There's a couple of reasons for this. One is, let's see, 38 states ratified the 16th Amendment and 37 sent in formal instruments of ratification to the Secretary of State. Minnesota notified them orally, and then additional states ratified later. Only four of the instruments...
Are you giggling because he said orally?
Orally.
Really? Please continue.
Only four of the instruments that were used to ratify it repeat the language of the 16th Amendment exactly as Congress approved it. The other 34 states that sent them in used different words. Capitalization was different. Punctuation was different.
But we're talking about a period of time where they didn't exactly have a mimeograph.
Early 1861, something like that, yeah.
Well, let's not forget that several states rejected it completely.
Right.
Some of them didn't even respond. Yeah. By the way, Florida was one of the ones who said piss off.
so they like to use that, you know, oh, they didn't dot an I here, so the whole document is null and void.
Okay.
Which, you know, yeah, but... you know, taken at the time, it's more intent rather than the actual...
My movable press
legal.
My movable type press didn't catch that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So on that same vein, you know, the one that I really enjoy is some tax protesters have argued that because the titles of court cases, you know, when it's X versus Y, identify the parties in all capital letters, the persons thus identified are fictitious entities. because their names are all caps, they're fictitious entities rather than, you know, being in normal title case. Such an argument was made by Eddie Ray Khan, one of the co-defendants of Wesley Snipes' recent tax evasion case.
Wait, his last name is Khan?
Eddie Ray Khan, yes.
Clue.
So, yeah, because they're all, the courts do all caps when they title the cases, they're talking about fictitious characters, so whatever is null and void.
Not proper nouns.
No, not I'm not talking title case, I'm talking the whole names are uppercase.
Oh.
So they're fictitious characters, you know.
Wait, what?
It's a pretty thin argument. Wow. Like I said, some of this stuff is pretty crazy.
I had a client one time who I was doing consulting for, and he said point blank, it is illegal for them to make me pay taxes. And I told him in no uncertain terms that that's great.
Right.
And he can tell that to his prison
exactly.
bunk buddy all he wants, because there are people in prison for having not done it.
It is voluntary. You can just not make money.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Paying income tax is voluntary.
So, well, and so on that note, you know, there was another argument that's come up. And this one actually kind of... I don't know, it might carry a little bit of weight. One of the other arguments raised is that filing for income taxes violates the, I think it's the Fifth Amendment that protects you from making self-incriminating statements. Mm-hmm. So having being forced to file for income tax is making a self-incriminating statement. So you can't be forced to file income taxes because you're self-incriminating yourself.
Only if you're doing it yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's total bullshit that what you're filing, then you're committing perjury.
Right.
Because it's falls under the pains and penalties of perjury. But
wait, so if you're a drug dealer and you work as like a waiter at night and you get your tax paper that says that you made $20,000. If you then go and file your taxes saying that you made $120,000, I will come to your house and smack you upside your head.
Well, technically you're supposed to do that. I mean, that is one of the fields on the form is other sources of income.
And well, as we stated, they deleted the word lawful income
right.
to just include income in general. There is also a drug stamp tax, or drug tax stamp, that's what I meant to say. In 23 states, there's a tax on illegal drugs. I like how they reference, like, moonshine in Tennessee. Because that's what's really people are buying. But you have 48 hours to report it to the Department of Revenue to get your little stamp thing. And you don't need to provide ID. You just go in there and pay your money. The paper that I was reading, they said North Carolina had this in place for 15 years, and 79% or 79 people purchased the stamp since 1990, most of whom were stamp collectors. So it kind of makes you wonder if those stamp collectors went out and bought an ounce just so they could get the stamp.
Well, you mentioned something during the break that I need you to explain to me, a tax on beards.
Ah, yes. That would be Peter the Great in Russia.
Let me clarify. Of the three people sitting in front of this microphone, two of them would fall under this category.
You'll never guess who's not fall. It. Yeah. Yeah, Peter the Great in Russia, taxed beards.
Didn't he have a beard?
He did, but he didn't pay taxes.
It's good to be the king.
Let's see some other funny stuff that have been taxed in the past. Of course, we've got birth, because, you know, as soon as you're shot out, somebody's got their hand out for you.
There's a birth tax?
There was.
Oh, okay. Not
now, this is worldwide, and this is funny things that have been taxed
exactly.
in the past.
Well, because then you have the death tax.
Right.
So. Birth, marriage, and burial.
Nice.
Now, marriage, okay. You know, I can kind of understand, like, I can kind of see how that's feasible, but... Who are you collecting from upon birth and burial?
Whoever was responsible for them.
Now, we're not talking yeah. sales tax, because obviously anything that you purchase, you pay sales tax. But we're talking a tax specifically on food and clothing. If we want to get a little more specific, hats and boots have been taxed specifically.
Was it specific types of hats and boots, or just hats and boots in general?
It says hats and boots, dude. Okay. What do you want me to do?
It's kind of like the gang discrimination thing.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
If you buy a bowler, it's, you know.
Right. You got to pick whether it's red or blue.
Right,
though.
Yeah. This is the Crip or Blood tax. I don't know.
So wow. We can build roads.
Yeah.
Funny stuff that it gets better. Chimneys, basements have been taxed. Beehives.
Beehives.
Now I don't know if they mean
the hair.
Hives of bees or hair. I don't know if that's to, right. to you know, balance out the beards.
Well, Key West actually has a tax when you build a house, and upon completion of building the house, you have to pay the tax is levy. So people start building their houses out of cypress. Because it tends to be water resistant, mm-hmm. and never painted their houses.
So they never done.
Never done. Never had to pay the tax.
Interesting.
You just paint on one side, not done. All right, but you want
to
hear my favorite?
Continue.
And I tried to find more information on this. I really did. But there was also a tax on souls.
S-O-U-L-S?
S-O-U-L-S. Not like soles of your shoes.
Okay, just
like
checking.
Your actual souls. So the devil should be providing a lot of our income.
Great.
I mean, I don't know.
Wow, that's awesome.
So if I were to sell my soul, does it literally have to pay a bill of sale?
Soul tax, a sales tax.
Does that mean like the higher powers would require that you wrote that it was a gift on there? So that they don't have to pay the taxes on it? Souls, seriously.
Yeah,
so for those of you who have wandered around collecting, be wary.
IRS gets old scratches returned. Look at all the souls.
So a couple more of these crazy arguments. A lot of them hang on the word income as it's used in the 16th Amendment. income meaning they cannot be interpreted to apply to wages. Wages not being income because labor is exchanged for them, and that would violate the right to an individual's right to property.
Wait, what? I don't see how I was following until I don't see how those things connect.
Yeah, right. It, like I said, a lot of it is very loose.
But if you're going to say that your work, like you're exchanging work for wages, then you don't have to be. It's not an income tax. It's a sales tax.
Sales tax, whatever.
So
yeah
bend over one way.
Another one, they've argued that, Federal Reserve notes, better known as dollar bills, are not actually money because the Constitution, only permits the government to coin, quote, money, and requires that such money be exchangeable for gold and silver. Obviously, our money is no longer capable of that. Therefore, printed bills are instead symbols used in bartering, and being paid in dollars is not the receipt of taxable income.
So pay your taxes in pennies. The IRS will love you.
Bartering is taxable.
Well, the U.S. Constitution, prohibits states from declaring legal tender anything other than gold and silver, but does not limit Congress's power to declare what shall be legal tender for all debts. So,
babies.
Out of the water. Whatever. Sure. let's do it.
Eat them or sell them.
Some of the really crazy ones, obviously, Freemason, Illuminati, controlled government, those come up all over the place.
Printing on our dollar bills then.
Well, yeah. there's some that say there was a specific event in U.S. history, such as the Civil War, Great Depression, or the passage of some national debt threshold that actually caused the U.S. to cease to exist under the Constitution. And all actions in the name of the U.S. government since then have been part of a conspiracy to maintain the illusion of constitutional authority.
So I'm waiting by
and
my gong?
And then there's other people who say that the U.S. never actually achieved independence from Great Britain and secretly continued to operate under British rule.
Well, if we're British, then everyone under the age of 75 in the U.K. pays a TV license of £126 at the time of pulling this for color TVs and £42 for black and white TVs. But if you're legally blind, you only have to pay half of that.
Nice.
Because you're just listening to it.
Thank you for explaining it. It was a lot funnier when you didn't.
So,
wait, unless you just point and laugh at Jay, ready?
Is there a radio tax, is my question.
And is it half of a TV tax?
Seriously.
And is it twice as much if you can see the radio?
Go to the park and people are acting it out? I don't know.
Now, what if they're mimes? Do you have to pay at all if you're blind?
I have to interject here for just a moment. We pulled the tax margins from a website called thetaxfoundation.org. At the bottom of the page, if you found this material useful, please consider making a donation to the Tax Foundation. I would like to say to the Tax Foundation, we appreciate what you're trying to do there, but we're going to save you from yourselves. You'd only have to declare and file taxes on the revenue we gave you for this, and we just don't want you to have to do the paperwork on our account. So.
Should we tag the show right now saying that we're not tax professionals?
No, not tax professionals.
We're just going to name all the shows of what we're not professionals of.
So, you know, all those arguments, there's, you know, most of those arguments, all of those arguments were, you know, pretty kind of crazy. However, the government's response to a lot of that stuff actually kind of rubs me the wrong way. the Fifth Circuit Court, who, you know, handles a lot of these cases, one of the judges has said, "We perceive no need to refute these arguments with somber reasoning and copious citation of precedent. To do so might suggest that these arguments have some colorable merit. The constitutionality of our income tax system, including the role played within that system by the Internal Revenue Service and the tax court, has long been established. The petitioner's argument is a hodgepodge of unsupported assertions, irrelevant platitudes, and legalistic gibberish."
So basically, it says that we're bigger than you. Shut the hell up, and because this is the way it always has been, it's the way it always will be, except we'll probably rape you harder.
Exactly. I have a problem with that.
Isn't that the definition?
I'm not arguing that it's unsupported assertions, irrelevant platitudes, and legalistic gibberish, but you're a court. Your job is to hear the argument unbiased.
Then we could go into, like, that guy, you know, our next show will be about that guy who dumped hot McDonald's coffee on his lap
right.
and sued for the birds.
Well, the irony is these cases are heard by the tax court. Conflict of interest?
But it makes me laugh to think that there's a guy sitting in a federal prison, like Leavenworth, and when asked why he's there, if he could repeat that exact statement, that would be funny as hell.
Oh, yeah.
But he'd still be sitting behind the bars.
Well, though. Sure, but it's still funny in my head.
Yep.
not so much for him and his tin cup.
So it is kind of crazy. All these arguments are kind of crazy, but
taxes.
There's always that glimmer. There's still, even reading this stuff, you know, it's obviously crazy, but just their response to it still kind of leaves that nagging doubt. Like, yeah, maybe there is a conspiracy. I don't know.
So we leave you with the fact that once again, the federal government looks at you and says, "Shh. Mommy's going to make everything up."
So in the last couple of shows, we've actually talked about state troopers, the IRS. We don't have to worry about lists anymore.
Yeah.
We have to worry about leaving the house.
Right, yeah.
I would say we're all still here, but we haven't made anything public.
We need to set this up so that it's a live feed, so that when our listeners hear the knock at the door and then some commotion.
There's not going to be a knock.
Whatever. When they hear the commotion and then never hear from us again, call somebody, please.
Your cube is beautiful this time of year.
Call somebody?
I don't know.
Where is that statement?
The court one. It's at the...
"We perceive no need to refute that these three douchebags were black bags because they have no somber reasoning, and to do so might suggest that they are remotely intelligent and stuff."
Somber reasoning, yes. Sober reasoning, I don't know.
Much less so.
So, yeah, I think that's about it.
Yeah, on that note.
Thanks, as always, for listening. It's been a blast, and we'll see you all next week.
Good night.
And see you.